To look at this dispute about how the first Christians, 20 years after the death of Christ, so we're talking Corinthians written 56, so Jesus crucified, what, 33, something like that. So the question is, how do they put their Christian belief into practice in a church community where there's people who've come from many pagan backgrounds? So if you look at PowerPoint 3, it's to do with this chapter, how behavior in church worship between men and women or husbands and wives. Now, this is an important point for the interpretation of all the New Testament passages that are in the Greek. The word gynae means woman or wife, and the word ander can mean man or husband. So you have to use your discretion as to which way you translate it. And of course, that question has profound implications for the interpretation. So the question is, how is this behavior between men and women or husbands and wives perceived by the outside world? That's the first issue. And the second is to do with how the Christians need to organize themselves in the practical worship so that they don't shame certain groups who are less privileged. So that's the news headlines. And there's this rather bizarre teaching in the first section of the chapter. So if you just glance down chapter 11, verses 1 through to, 16, it's about hats and long hair, short hair, no hair. And I thank the vicar for giving me such a lovely hot potato to speak on. The gist of what I would have said is that we've got a pattern here of the relationship between Christ and God. And there's two aspects to that pattern which might appear to be contradictory. One is that Christ and God are equal, as indeed the Holy Spirit. So if we have PowerPoint 4, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all equal. That's one thing to hold. Second thing to hold, which could appear to be contradictory, is that Christ comes from God the Father. So he's equal, but Christ comes from God the Father. And this is what Paul's alluding to in 11 verse 3, when he says that Christ is, the head of Christ is God. Now the question is, we've got to glean something about the relationship between men and women or wives and husbands on the basis of holding those two things together. And I'm going to stick my neck out and tell you what I think, and some of you will lynch me afterwards. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm happy to discuss the ins and outs of why I think that at some other point. And I think number one is male and female, man and wife are equal in the eyes of God. Galatians 3:28, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Slaves, Greek, Jew, every set of relationship. Second is, I do think that there is this, that man is the head of woman, or particularly, certainly, husband is the head of wife. And I think our problem, well, the problem a lot of people have that with that is the notion of submission is tainted by the fall. So I'd want to suggest to you, I've put this down, men taking a leadership position of caring responsibility. I think that's more the sense. Our word submission has overtones of the nasty headmaster who's a tyrant. And that's tainted by the fall. So that's what I would suggest to you. Now the question about whether this marriage relationship is actually applicable to all men and all women is debatable, and whether it should be expressed in the wider Christian community. And because I like to be a martyr, I'm going to say I think it should be. And example I could give several. One I would give is when I have the international students to my home, we get Simon, Monoke's husband, to gather people together to say grace and to sort of be master of ceremonies. And it's not there's anything particular in that, but it's a way that works for that gathering of showing, giving some place to the male voice and to their leadership. Some people will probably think I'm terribly, I don't know. Anyway, that's what I want to say. Now, that's the first section. Oh, hang on. No, I haven't told you the other bit I need to tell you. This business, why not long hair and why not men long hair? Why women hats? Well, women were to wear hats because loose hair was the sign of promiscuity in the pagan temple. And similarly, long hair for men was the sign of the gay lifestyle. And Christians were called out of that. So the question is not whether you should wear a hat or not, but how is how we conduct ourselves in worship perceived by the outside? If you want to read the script, you can, but I think it's better for me to cut the cackle at this stage. So the second part of the chapter deals with Holy Communion, and if you look at verse 17, the custom was that they were having a big feast beforehand, and it was okay if you were rich and not okay if you were poor, because your poverty was highlighted by the gathering. And so if you look in verse 22, it talks about the humiliation of those in the church who have nothing. And clearly in communion, we're acknowledging and proclaiming Christ's victory over sin, evil, the restoring of our dignity as people broken before the Lord. And we are in the dignity restoring business, so that, as John says, our wounds transform us to be like the Lord. And so therefore, it's ironic that we who are all sinners together under the cross of Christ should expose or humiliate another person. And I was trying to think of how we could do that. One thing is obviously in terms of different people can afford different things. So be careful of how you price your church activities. Second thing, in Bible study groups, not everybody can read out loud. Not everybody's got that confidence. Let's just be careful that we don't expose somebody and make them feel less than the other people. And I told you this is going to be the shortest possible sermon. And the last point I want to say is from the section of verse 23 to the end about drinking the cup of the Lord Jesus unworthily. And when we grasp that the death of Christ is the event in history, this is PowerPoint 14, by the way, John, forgiving all the sins before and all the sins after, and securing the defeat of Satan himself, then we must remember that this is the event. It's very serious. We claim Christ breaking into a spiritual darkness and overcoming that in its entirety. And there is this both the proclaiming of that and the claiming of it at the rail. So when we come to communion, we have to acknowledge that we are a sinner in need of God's grace. And there's a very solemn warning about drinking the blood of Christ and eating his flesh without first repenting and turning to Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about do not boast in what you think you are naturally, but boast in the Lord Jesus, because it's the Lord who gives us dignity as we stand before God. Amen.